This question came into my mind on yesterday. So, and today I'm going to reveal it. And it probably would have been better asked yesterday, but I think it sort of relates. I was just thinking about the wise men that were looking for Jesus, the one who was to be born king of the Jews. And my question was this a natural revelation or a supernatural revelation? And were these men natural men or were they spiritual men?
The wise men?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they were spiritual men because God told them what to do in the matter. He revealed that to them. Herod was a natural man and he could not understand those things. But the wise men were spiritual in the sense that God chose to reveal his will to them at that time. And in our context, that's what a spiritual man is one whom God has chosen to reveal his will. And he told the wise men what to do, to go back another way. And does that answer your question?
I was just wondering, and since they weren't designated as Israelites, would they still be spiritual men, even though it wasn't declared that they were from Israel?
God could use some things in revealing his will to man. They were probably operating on, I don't want to get into this discussion now. Somebody else might have this subject. But they probably still existed under the patriarchal age if they were Gentiles. And because that ran parallel with the law of Moses, law, it was given to Israel. But the old patriarchal dispensation continued on until that time. And besides all of that, God could choose to reveal his will different things. Belshazzar, where did the revelation occur? It was written on a wall, wasn't it? What about Balaam and his donkey? See, God could choose what he wanted to reveal his will to them.
Just to comment on what Brother Ellerby asked, I don't know if we know enough about the situation of those men as to decide in the beginning of when they first saw the star, had they received revelation or not. They may have known that from when Daniel was in Chaldea and had prophesied for 70 years in that place, and they may have the star from the perspective of those Gentiles, that could have been a natural thing to them. I mean, the star is not a natural thing, but their perception of seeing it. And then of later on, God re obviously revealed to them how to leave that place. But I think the context of 1 Corinthians 2 is talking about the revelation of God's word, the written word. And I don't know that the situation's parallel any more than the situation with Balaam's donkey is parallel to this. 1 Corinthians 2 is talking about the writing down of the word of God.
Appreciate so much your interesting presentation, Benny. I was wondering in 1 John 2, verse 20 and 27, what, if any, relationship there was to these scriptures to the text there in 1 Corinthians 2. 1 John 2:20 says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." Verse 27 says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him."
Yeah, I think those things came to them through the laying on of the apostles' hands, and that those are good verses to back up what was taught there in 1 Corinthians 2.
My question relates to the first verse in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. You know, I think it's evident as he goes down through 1 Corinthians 2, he's talking about the inspired man. And then, you know, when he opens the third verse, he says, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Now, what does Paul do there? Is he, in other words, does he use it there when he speaks to the Corinthian brethren as they were not inspired men, but men who would not or had not submitted to the words of the inspired man? When you use the word spiritual, just would you kind of explain that a little?
The word spiritual is used in many different ways in the New Testament, and they certainly hadn't followed after those things. You know, like in Romans, the 7th chapter, verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual. And then those things that were referred to as in a typical way, like the rock and all of that, that water came out of in Israel, that's referred to as spiritual also. And these people there at Corinth, they just had not grown to where they were spiritual in the sense that Paul is using. It's not used in the same sense as it is in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, because we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's a spiritual growth. And they were still babes in Christ, and he had to speak to them in that particular fashion.
Well, the reason I was asking that is, you know, sometimes in discussing this, showing it's the inspired man, brethren have brought up that first verse in the next chapter and said, how could you switch?
Yeah.
But the point is, we move from inspired men to men who, do they accept the inspired word of God? Mm-hmm. And those men then are referred to in the sense of spiritual.
Yeah.
And but that's the one thing that among our own brethren has been brought up to me the most often. And I think of in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, it talks about arming ourselves with the mind of Christ, submitting ourselves to the will of God. He goes right down on through. And so he moves from the fact that spiritual sometimes does refer to those who simply do not submit to the inspired word of God. But in 1 Corinthians 2, as you well explained, the whole context there is an inspired man.
Those are good comments that you made, and we have to be careful about trying to define the word spiritual in the same context as 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter 14, is it? Because it talks, where is it, in Ephesians, about spiritual wickedness in high places. So that word spiritual there certainly is not talking about God-inspired men. It might be talking about the devil.
One thing's pretty evident about this word spiritual when it applies to men. They're not spiritual if they don't abide by the word of God.
That's right. They keep his commandments.
You know, in that passage Ron brought up there, I think it's important to recognize that there's two different contrasts going on in verse 14 and in chapter 3, verse 1. A spiritual man, I think you've explained this right. A spiritual man is the man who has the word of God in his heart. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. It's a man who has the word of God in his heart. Now, how did it get in his heart? In 1 Corinthians 2, he's clearly talking about direct inspiration, words which the Holy Ghost teaches. But the contrast in verse 14 is between a natural man, which is the word psukikos. And the contrast in chapter 3 is between a spiritual man and a man who is sarkikos. It's an entirely different word. Sarkikos is referring to a behavior that is sensual or carnal or worldly. That's how it's translated, as carnal, and that's what the problem was. That they had had the word of God spoken to them by inspired men, but they hadn't taken the word of God into their hearts and minds yet so that it changed their lives from sarkikos to spiritual lives for themselves. So in chapter 3, verse 1, the word spiritual is used in a secondary or accommodative sense of people who have taken the inspired word spoken or written to them into their heart and mind. In chapter 2, the contrast is between the natural, physical man who does not have inspiration with the man who has supernatural revelation in his heart and mind. So it's two different contrasts.
In 1 Corinthians 15 and 44, it's contrasted with sukkikos and pneumatos. It's sown a sukkikos body and is raised a pneumatos body, the spiritual body. Do you have any comments on that?
Talk a long time about that. Bunch of us preachers here was brought up under Moss Covert over in West Virginia, and that was one of his specialties. But when our body is seen in its totality, it has the flesh, the body, it has the soul, and it has the spirit. Now, the soul when it's used in that sense, is lower than the spirit. And it has to do with our animal nature. That's the reason that adjective is used in in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, that sukkikos. And so it's used there in 1 Corinthians 15, 44, referring to when a body is buried, it still has that particular part that is called soul with it. It is sown, as I think it's the Diaglot says, a solical body. And then it's raised a spiritual body. Now, when that body is sown then, it still has that part that is called a soul in the scripture with it. And that's what makes us like all this good food the sisters are preparing for us here and all the good things that the natural body enjoys here on this earth. Well, those desires are sown with the body when it is placed in the grave. Now, when it is raised, it is a spiritual body. And that means that you're not going to want these tacos like we had yesterday. See, because it's raised a spiritual body and it will have a different food source. But that's just briefly what I think that teaches.